It's like a marriage. I'm married. I have the hope of a good marriage, but I have to work at it every day.
So then how can you have the Holy Spirit if you're not saved?
There's a Holy Spirit in you to guide you. He's a down payment. The Bible says he was given in earnest. Earnest. Do you know what earnest is? What is it? Like what?
In what context?
Earnest is like something given to yet be completed. When you want to buy a car, you give them money to hold it. You come back with the rest of the money. The Holy Spirit is a down payment in you. You have to strive to the end to receive salvation with works of holiness and obedience because of Christ working in you. You don't work your way to heaven. You can't. But you will be working for him. And if you live in willful sin, you're not working for Jesus. You're working against him.
So I do believe that you should work for Jesus the rest of your life. Because out of love for the sacrifice that you made, not out of work.
But you can lose it too. Jesus said so. Paul says so. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, you have the hope of eternal life if you hold fast to what you believe, lest you believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2.
So if you reject God, so I...
No, or sin. Hebrews 10:26 says, if you live in willful sin, there's no sacrifice for your sin, but the fiery judgment that will devour the adversaries of God.
So if you're dying and the last thought that you have is sinful instead of repentance, you'll go to hell.
Let me ask you a question. If you're following Jesus in spirit and truth your whole life and striving for the kingdom, why would your last thought be a sinful?
Because we are sinful. We are humans.
You don't have to be sinful. You get a new heart. You get a new mind. You don't need to sin. What sin can you not quit? Name it. Which one can't you quit?
We are humans with sin.
What sin can't you stop?
I don't understand what you mean, sir.
What sin can't you stop? Can you stop pornography if you had it? Sure you can. Smash your phone and get rid of your computer. Can you stop smoking? Throw them away and get accountability. Can I stop swearing? Yeah, tell my friends, keep me accountable. God, pray, give me your spirit.
Your thoughts. You don't have to say it out loud. Now
you're talking about a different category. Willful sin is what you do willingly. I'm going to keep sinning. Thoughts can pop in your head. I believe Satan can attack you, yeah. But guess what?
But you can feed those too.
You can feed those too. Then it's willful sin if you feed them. But if they pop up and you say, God...
If you sin in your head and you're thinking...
If they pop up and you say, God, I don't want that, cleanse me from it, then you walk away from it. So there's willful sin. There's sin that can just come in your life. Ready? I could be driving down the street. And all of a sudden, I'm doing perfectly good. All of a sudden, there's a wicked billboard with nearly naked women on it. And if I look at it, could I not have an evil thought? I could have. Oh, I'd look down. Oh, Lord, I don't want to sin against you. I shouldn't even, why did I even look at that? Satan can bring images. I don't willfully sin and go, it's okay, I'm a big sinner. We all sin a lot. Look at him looking at that. This is really nice. Forget about my wife. Look at this. No. I look away and I go, Lord, help me, cleanse me. I don't want to sin against you. It's about your heart. Your heart's transformed, young folks. You'll want the things of God and you won't want this wickedness, this worldliness, this false churchianity. You'll want to clean up all your ways. Wouldn't you want to? Jesus was beaten, battered, bruised, bloodied for you. Beaten so that his organs would show through his ribs. Nailed to a tree. And died a cruel death to purchase us with his blood. Why would you not want to do everything to please him and be holy and be blameless and be godly and be righteous because it pleases him? Why would you fight for sin and worldliness and carnality? That's what you've been doing.
Can I say one more thing before, because I have to go, but if then you do have your salvation, we believe the same thing about salvation, and that we will get eternal life. Then we'll see you in London one day.
You will if you endure, and I will if I endure, but you have to endure in a saving faith. God will be the final judge, but his word tells us, young man, that if you live and practice sin and worldliness and false religion, he said in Mark 7, you worship God in vain. You're worshiping God in vain. I love you. You can email me anytime. Huh?
He goes to the church that I was selling. Okay. Just eternal security.
Hey, we love you, young people. We can ever help you. Let us know.
Okay, bye.
Seek the kingdom of God. Come out of all worldliness and sin. Do you have anything else to drink?
Huh?
Do you have anything else to drink? Could you grab it? Maybe bring our card over here. Thank you, honey. You know that young man?
Yeah, his name is Evan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he goes to... So
I flipped you on camera, Craig. Are you okay with that?
Oh, that's fine. Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Do you still go to that church?
No, I haven't been going in a while.
Do you go to any church?
I was trying one out in De Pere, but honestly, it was pretty much exactly the same.
I don't know of a church in a building that's fully biblical, that's not above the world. Look at the young people around here.
Yeah.
One guy came out, and he was talking to me going in here. He goes, I didn't know yoga, Roman Catholic, false gospel, worldliness. I said, yeah. He went in there. He came out. He said, did you hear Malachi, the big guy? He came out. I said, Malachi, how's it going? He goes, life fast sucks. And I said, what? He's a big guy, man. He must weigh 400 pounds. Big, huge guy. He goes, life fast sucks. I said, why? He goes, first thing he said, he goes, girls and everybody, he goes, they dress like wicked little harlots. He goes, they're showing their belly buttons off. He goes, this is shameful. I thought this was supposed to be for God. This is carnality and sin and worldliness.
Did we meet you last year?
Mm-hmm.
I thought I recognized
you. Yeah. I'll be right back.
Oh.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
To talking to all of you.
Yeah, man.
I don't think I'll be able to sleep tonight. I'm going to be floating above my bed because this happened last year, too. This happened last year, too. We had hundreds of young people we talked to. You asked about older people, younger people. Ones like that that seem to be mockers when they come up, but then when you start preaching sound doctrine and they're searching, they're probing, they're asking, but what they've got to do is they've got to stop. I told them, I said, you have the fruit, you're not born of God. They said, why? I said, a man of God is proclaiming the oracles of God to you, and instead of hearing, taking note, going, I got to go test it to the scriptures and see that which is true, flesh is coming out. The first thing, we got to defend it. And I said, you can't do that, because as a novice, as a young person, maybe you're not born again. You got to hear the word of God and have prothumia, readiness of mind, Acts 17, to seek it. And you can see them. Did you see that with them? They kind of come down to
a notch.
They come down to a notch and they say, hey, these people care about us. They're here because we love them. And what we're doing, I'm an old man. I'm 60. I have issues. I may be dead next year. I don't know.
You're only 60?
I'm 60. I may be dead next year. We're speaking life into these people. I could be powder in the grave if Jesus doesn't come back. And guess what's going to happen? In 20, 30 years, those seeds are going to be poured, and they're going to go, remember the preacher guy and his wife? They talked to us, and they're going to start studying the scriptures, and they may be out street preaching. And this is how the faith is passed on. Somebody's got to draw a stake in the ground and say, we're not moving. This is godly and biblical, and stand against it. And then they say to me, how are you going to win people? And I said, I've talked to hundreds of people out here with my gospel sign, preaching the gospel. I don't need to go in there. I don't need to be like them. And they're like, oh, well, yeah. How did Paul do it? He went in the marketplace and he reasoned with people. Jesus sat on a mountain and people came to listen to him. He was God. They wanted to hear him. Most of those people left him.
Yeah, they said, this is too hard.
You think I'm a tough preacher? Jesus. He went from a multitude of 5,000. How many were with him still in the upper room at the end of his ministry? 3 years, raising the dead like heretic Isaiah Salvador does. No, no. They say they can raise the dead. Call me when he goes and he raises the dead, okay? Call me. Call me when they trample scorpions and all that, too. I want to come see that. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. They trample scorpions, drink poison. Nothing's going to happen to us. I want to be there when they raise the dead.
Jesus say that?
Again, who is that for? Who is that for? And it actually happened with Paul. Paul was bitten by a scorpion and it didn't kill him. But I diverse from that. We have to walk in sound doctrine. We have to be seeking the kingdom of God. And you have to, again, I have to echo what I said before, walk in the light God's given you. Whatever God has revealed to you through all of this, we're just tools. We're just salt and light. We're just bringing people the knowledge that they need to hear. And it takes a bold person to stand and not be moved. And people go, what is that about? And it's amazing. My wife can testify to this. This always amazes me. We go places and we preach. Thousands of people walk by. They mock, they throw stuff at us. One guy was awesome. One guy tried to spit on me over here. He was walking by, big dude, little worldly looking guy. Right here, of course. Yeah, one guy wanted to beat me up. Another guy was in my face screaming at me. He walked by me, hat on backwards, looked like Toby, the music core Mac. He's walking by, he was a young guy though. He's walking by, his mom and his dad are with him. He's walking by and he goes, right at me. And right at that time, a gust of wind comes down, and the wind blows it on the ground and almost hit his shoe. And he walks by me, and I said, "Nice try, sir." I said, "It didn't work." I said, "I love you anyway." I said, "Why would you do that?" He walks by me, and under his breath, he goes, "When I come out, I won't miss." So does that mean he was aiming at me? Yeah. His mother follows up behind and says, "Why are you judging my son? He didn't try to spit on you." And he turns around and he looks. He did. But what always amazes me, we get all that. The people that walk up to us, you've seen some of the youth that come up. People walk up and a lot of times they just walk up and they go, and I go, "Can I help you?" And they go, I don't know why. I'm supposed to come here and talk to you. It's like the Spirit of God just calls them, and it's not me because I'm special. God said, "Go, preach the gospel, lift up Jesus," and he said, "I'll draw men unto myself." And it's amazing. Or people just come up and they go, I need to talk to you. And then people say, like you said, "I've been struggling with these things." A young man was over there. He left. He said, "My mom bought me a ticket." He goes, "I'm not going in." He goes, "You're right. It's sinful." He goes, "I'm going home, studying my Bible." He goes, "I'll be in touch with you." He left. Three guys like that left. So this is why we go and what we do. And it's confrontational. Was Jesus confrontational? Were the disciples? Were the prophets? Did they get into trouble? I get the police on me all the time. But I've never been arrested yet. Why? I'm legal. I'm peaceful. People just lie about me. And they hate us for the truth of the gospel. And so, do you want to be hated for the gospel? Living for churchianity, living like this culture, you'll never be hated. You won't. You got to stand against it. Any of you guys fish? You ever fish water? Yeah. What does a dead fish do all the time in a river? Goes downstream. What does a live fish do? Goes against the current. So you want to be a live fish in Christ, not a dead one just going with the flow downstream because this is how we get along. No, we got to stand against it so people see the difference. So people that see truth and righteousness and holiness, and they see an example that they can go test and go, "What do the scriptures say?" And I'm confident the scriptures will back up everything I've said. I teach it at my website. And my offer to any of you, I've been telling everybody this. By the way, I did an example today. Thousands of people went by us. I said, any man that comes and brings his Bible that is saying I'm wrong, to open the scriptures and show me where we can be holy or worldly, where we can keep false doctrine and be of God, where we don't have to worry about leaving sin. Show me some scriptures. Not one person came forth. Not one. They won't come and bring the Bible. Modern pastors run when you show up at their buildings. Why do you think that is? The truth isn't on their side. It's not. Jesus said they would run. So if we're going to shine the light, first we have to be the light. We have to have the light. And he said, nobody lights a candle, puts it under a basket. So if you want to be a light of Christ, you got to be willing to be that light and then take on the persecution. He said, you'll have much tribulation. You'll have many trials. You want your world to be shaken? Go read Matthew 10. I come to separate mother from father, daughter from son. Lose your life. He said, if you find your life, you don't have it. If you lose your life, you have it.
So, do you know who Ray Comfort is?
Yeah.
Do you like Ray Comfort?
No.
What?
Who do you like?
Jesus, Paul, Peter, John, the men were supposed to example. No modern preachers.
Not like you? There's some people in street preaching that are sick.
Really? Name a biblical street preacher. Most of them are pointing you to a church. Yeah. Most of them don't teach sound doctrine.
Who's that black guy with the like straight in his hair? He's pretty bold.
I think he's Catholic.
There's a lot of worldly churchianity street preachers. I don't know any biblical street preachers that have come out of the world and out of the culture.
There was one out.
Christ Forgiveness is his website.
Oh, Christ Forgiveness?
Yeah.
Oh, that's David Lynn.
Yeah.
NAR heretic. He belongs with Isaiah Salvador. He's a heretic. He's a teaching false
Mapalo.
Doctrine. He's a money taker.
Mapalo, you ever hear of him?
Mapalo, I don't know him.
He's a younger guy. He's got big curly hair.
What do you think of him? I don't really know much about him.
Let me see him.
One sec, I guess.
That's a young guy?
Dude, you gotta get YouTube.
He's young. I don't want to pay the company. So he's like on a.
You guys might be blowing this off, but I pray that this seed gets planted in you.
Yeah, I've never seen him. Yeah, so let me go back to Ray Comfort. Ray Comfort. Links to the worldly people and churchianity. Ray Comfort, do you know who Joyce Meyer is?
Yeah.
Think she's godly?
No.
Probably not, no.
I don't know enough of her. She's a lead pastor.
I know
she's a lead pastor with the NAR False Faith. Ray Comfort goes on her show to sell his books. Ray Comfort's on TBN. TBN is a Word of Faith heretical network.
What about Joe Kirby?
Joe Kirby. Sounds familiar.
Off the curb. Yeah, off the curb.
All of his recent stuff has been like clickbait on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's just like stuff about like...
Because he's probably monetized, making money.
No, he refuses.
Okay, yeah, all right, So yeah, I don't know. If you know of a biblical street preacher that's come out of the world and lives at holiness, email me.
Like Joe Kirby.
I'll look him up. Is it called Joe Kirby?
Off the curb.
I'll look it up.
Look up Mapalo.
Yeah, I'll look up Mapalo. Yeah, but see, that's the thing too, is we don't look to men. Okay, we met, so this has got appointed. If we could all be brothers and hold each other accountable, and that's where I was going. I got out of line. If anything I teach on my website from any man, I challenge any man to bring a Bible, email me. Look at any of my testing. Anything that I teach, it's false. If what do I say about Isaiah is false, if anything I teach, email me, call me. I'm testable, I'm teachable, approachable. That's the problem with these false teachers. Isaiah, if I get Isaiah and I say, you're a false teacher, I'm going to show you why. Oh, I don't want to talk to you. You're divisive. I don't want to do that. He runs and hides from everybody that will refute him. I'm sorry? No, I've reached out to him. And so, we don't follow men. Ray Comfort sells the things of God. Ray Comfort's tracks are worldly. Ray Comfort's compromised. Ready what Ray Comfort says? Ray Comfort will not go into music, pagan holidays, dress, things like that. They're too controversial. You know why? Ray wants to sell tracks and makes a bunch of money. Ray Comfort's a millionaire doing what he does. Got to please a lot of people. His niche is the evangelical world. Got to make them happy. Don't talk about women covering their head. Don't talk about coming out of those pagan holidays. Oh, they love those pagan holidays. Don't talk about music. Well, just do all that outside stuff. No, no, no. A preacher of righteousness goes after all sin. How did John the Baptist die? Why?
Because that one girl danced for Herod, and he's like, I'll give you anything up to half my kingdom, and then her mother's like...
But why was John in jail?
He was telling him not to marry his brother's wife.
He called Herod out because his marriage was not God-ordained, because Herod married his brother's wife, and in Torah law, if your brother had children with that wife, you can't marry her. If they had no children, you could take your brother's wife to take care of her. They had children. John the Baptist calls out one sin. A sin of sexual sin, is in jail and is killed. John the Baptist is the greatest man that ever lived. Did you know that? So Jesus said. The greatest man ever born of a woman. He got lost his head for the glory of God for calling out one sin. So if you walk away and go, man, that tupos, he's calling out sin. I want to be like John the Baptist. John said, I must decrease so Christ can increase. He was a preacher of righteousness. He rebuked false teachers. He rebuked people defending sin. And he said, have meat worthy of repentance. That means if you claim repentance, you claim Christ, your life better show up to it. Otherwise, we're calling you out. Because if I don't call you out of your sin, do I really love you? If I believe sin's going to damn your soul, do I love you? Hey, man, I see you're a coke addict. Whatever, have fun. I don't love you. Hey, I see you're a drug addict. Whatever, I don't love you. Hey, I see you watch porn. It's destroying your life. A lot of people do all kinds of crazy things. That doesn't matter. Hey, you're in sin. I care for you, brother. Sin's going to destroy you. Come out of that sin.
We
call people out of sin.
An enemy will tell you what you want to hear. A friend will tell you what you need to hear.
Exactly right. And then the Proverbs talks about a wise man takes a rebuke, only a fool rejects it, a scorner rejects it.
A slap from a friend or whatever is better than a kiss from an enemy or something.
Yeah, like amen, amen. So we get the glorious job. We travel the country. We stand outside religious places, never interrupt their services. We go to events. We go to religious events. We hold gospel signs in the middle of streets, all of, you know, in busy tourist areas all over the place. And we get to meet thousands of people every week. And we get to preach the gospel. And there's very few seekers that stand and listen. But God blesses us every once in a while and says, don't worry, my word's doing what it says. But you know what I rejoice at? When I first started street preaching, I got really depressed in what I was doing. You know why? I would preach, like I preached at the Super Bowl. And I had thousands. You ever been to the Super Bowl? Anybody? It's crazy. I'm walking around the Super Bowl, literally thousands, there's 80,000 people. It's an ocean of people. I'm preaching the gospel all over. Hardly anybody listened. What are they there for? Super Bowl, the carnality sin. I was getting discouraged. There was a couple people that listened a little bit, thanked me, but that was it. And God gave me something. God said, you're my preacher of righteousness. Any of you can be that. And God said, don't preach for the people and their salvation. Preach for me. And guess what? There's two results to the preaching of God. What's the two results? One and the other.
Fruit.
Huh?
Fruit.
you preach the gospel, it's going to be to your or your or your or your glorification with God if you repent and hear it, right? What's the other one? Your condemnation.
Yeah, because once you hear it, you have to do something for it.
And most people that hear the gospel are going to be condemned. Jesus told us that. So I realized something with street preaching, and this is the hardest thing about street preaching. I realize, I look in the hearts and I look in the eyes of these people and these young children and women and men and everybody, and I realize that 99.99999% of them, few, a puny number, will ever repent and follow Jesus. My preaching is a condemnation to them. Think about that. It's what the prophets did. I'm not a prophet, but it's a condemnation because they won't hear God, they won't love God, and on judgment day, if nobody else stood in front of them, God's going to go, do you remember when my worker stood in front of you and called out my name and lifted up my word and called you to holiness and you mocked and you, I got women out here today dressed immodestly, calling themselves Christians, sticking their butts at me and wiggling them like a prostitute would do, dancing and lascivious, just going in there. God's going to say, my worker was there. What did you do? Away from me. I never knew you. So what really settled down my preaching was, it's for a few people's glory, glorification with God. Ultimately, the word of God does what it's going to do, and that is going to send most people away. You guys know how few is?
I'm starting to realize it's a lot fewer than I thought.
Do you want a couple examples?
Sure.
Jesus is a preacher of the Old Testament. He really was a prophet of the Old Testament. When did the New Testament start?
After he died. After ascended.
Yeah, so the whole Gospels are still the Old Testament, but they're in the New Testament. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's still the Old Testament.
What's pretty cool is he said, did Jesus say he preached those who were like already dead?
Yeah.
And so like, does he give the chance of the people of the Old Testament to accept him?
Yeah, I believe there is some evidence that he preached to lost souls and gave them an opportunity before he came. There's not going to be any hope for that now that he's come.
What's also kind of hopeful is when John is in heaven, it's like for the end times he said he saw
see
people too great to count.
Yep.
And they were the same ones.
Yeah, but careful. Ready? I have a teaching on that. So the word is multitude.
Yeah.
Okay. It says there was a great multitude in heaven.
Yeah.
Where else do we hear the word multitude in the Gospels?
I was going to say in the Exodus, the mixed multitude.
Yeah, but in the New Testament, he fed the multitudes. That's what it says. Same word. Guess how many were there when he fed them?
Probably like 10,000.
5,000.
Well, 5,000 men.
So could you count 5,000 people if we had them right here? You can't. So a multitude doesn't mean billions of people. It means less than that. I can promise you that. But let's talk about few. Jesus was a preacher of the Old Testament. How many came off the ark?
Six.
Scholars say there could have been 10, 15, 20 million people alive. Eight. Ready? How many came out of Sodom and Gomorrah that was a major trading city that probably had tens of thousands of people?
Four
came out. Lot's wife looked back. Three survived. This one blows my mind. Ready? How many men that came out of Egypt with Israel as they went around the desert in their rebellion and their sin? How many of those men did God allow to go into the promised land? Out of six, the Bible gives us the number. 600,000 men.
Like two?
Very good.
Two? Yeah. The two that said we should attack.
Joshua and Caleb were faithful. God said they're the ones that are going to go in. Ready? So take 200,000 to 600,000. Ready? Take 330 million Americans. That same percentage. Do you know what the number is? It's like 1,200 people. Now that's not how many I'm saying are going to go to heaven. I'm just giving you an example of what is few. Jesus, God, healing people, raising the dead, 3 years, God in ministry. How many people does he have in the upper room? 120. That's it. 120. And then Jesus tells us in the last days there's going to be few. The love's going to wax cold. Paul says a great falling away, a great apostasy. So what do you want to be part of? The apostasy, or you want to be part of the ecclesia, the called out ones?
I'm thinking about my family and loved ones.
Well, but you know what? That's in your flesh and that's hard, and we had to go through that. But if you cry out to God and you say, God, all for you, guess what? Every one of those people can be offered the gospel and they'll all have the chance to come. And if they don't come, what do they deserve?
It's the false doctrine that they have right now.
But they need the truth. Show them the truth. Live the truth, then go preach them the truth.
Even with the Isaiah Saldivar stuff, they fought us.
It is false. Live the truth, then you'll have the account and the testimony to go tell them the truth, and then they'll all be on account and they'll have to repent and come. What if they don't repent and come? Your mom, you have mom and dad? Mom, dad, brother, and sisters. What if they go, well, we're not following Christ? What's their, what do they deserve?
They think they're following Christ. That's the thing.
I can promise you, most of them don't really want to hear it, because I line up outside religious buildings, and out of 1,000 people, hardly anybody wants to hear the gospel. They throw stuff at us. They call the police on us. They don't show up with Bibles. So just understand, few is few. And Jesus said, will you walk with me and come out of the multitudes? Let the dead bury the dead. Or will you lament in your flesh over all those false people? And if in Luke 9:62, what did he say? You're not fit for the kingdom of God if you look back. So God is gracious. He'll give you power to overcome your flesh. We had to. We lost everything. We lost all our friends, all our family. My mother died. I didn't see her for 8 years. She died. My wife's mother, didn't see her for 8 years. She died. They hated the biblical gospel. They loved their false gospel. They loved their Lutheranism. They loved their worldliness. It's a great price to pay. It's a free gift for eternal life, but there's a great cost behind it. Marriage is free. It's quick and easy, but isn't there a cost to do it? Right? I always use this example. Elon Musk, I like to use it because everybody knows him. Hey, he's got a company. It's worth $50 million. Man, I did a lottery. I cast lots. You won. What? Yeah, I'm going to give it to you free. What? Yeah, $50 million. I don't want it no more, man. What's your first name?
Devin.
Devin?
Yep.
Devin, you can have it for free. $50 million company for free? Yeah, I'm going to sign it over to you. Wow. Are you interested? Yeah. One thing. What's that? You got to go move. It's in Alaska. You got to go run it. And after 5 years, literally, it'll be yours after the 5 years, but you got to go work it and run it. Is the company free?
No, it's
it, but is it free? Is he giving it to you free?
Okay, yes.
Could you have ever gotten it without the gift?
No.
No. But are you asked to do something to get it and hold on to it?
Yeah.
That's salvation.
Makes sense.
It's free, but you got to do something to walk in it. You got to follow Christ. You got to be in a blood covenant. Forget this idea like all of those demon slayers. You're in a relationship with Jesus. No, you're not. Unless he's appearing to you, having pizza with you, and hugging you, that's a relationship. We can all have relationship. You're in a blood covenant. That's the biblical place you're in. And you have the Holy Spirit in you if you're born again as a down payment, an earnest. He's going to come. You guys all know what engaged. Did you get engaged? What did that mean? Was your marriage done when you got engaged? What was that?
It's a covenant.
That was what?
It was a promise.
Promise. Could it have been broken?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a promise to get ready for the next. This life is a promise with the Holy Spirit to get ready for Christ to come. And then we're all invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb if we're born of him. But guess what? You have to walk in his ways. How about the account, another parable that'll crush you. Ready? I want to crush you so that you can spring up. He said, go into the highways and the hedges. When the king said, I'm having a wedding feast, and all the people he knew said, I'm busy, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. They couldn't come. The king got mad, remember? He said, go into highways and hedges and invite anybody that'll come. That's a signification of Jesus inviting anybody to come for salvation. The people that decided to come, what did they do?
Put on a garment.
Yeah. It's a garment we were talking about. They put on a garment to be appropriate with the king. Would make respect and honor. What happens to the guy that doesn't come with a garment? They didn't just say, he didn't know, poor guy. They bound him and wrapped him and threw him into outer darkness. That's hell.
So, like, his ignorance didn't save him.
He should have known better.
Okay.
He clearly should have known better. Yeah, I would not run on ignorance too long. I'd be scouring the scriptures.
I know I'm not talking about me, but I'm like, I don't want to condemn my family. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because like the laws of your town, a cop ain't going to give you ignorance for too long. He's going to go, you better read the laws. Your boss ain't going to give you ignorance too long. God's not going to give you ignorance. You got the Holy Spirit if you're born again. You got the Word. Ignorance is not going to do. You're destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will teach us all truth. John 16:13. All truth. You can know all truth. People say to me, you're so bold. I said, I should be. I have all truth. They go, what? You're arrogant and you're prideful. I said, the Bible tells me I can have all truth. Not, I know everything. I have all truth of God in the scriptures that I need to function and be a godly, righteous preacher of righteousness. What if I told you, well, I don't think I have truth, and I don't really think I know truth. That's how I could help you guys, but this whole only gospel sign, I don't really know what I'm doing out here. And I mean, that wouldn't look very convincing or powerful, would it?
Kind of.
We serve a powerful God. He rises up in you. He gives you the power to do the things that you're called to do. So what can you not do that God's called you to do? I've been doing all the talking. Is there anything God's called you to do that you can't do?
Man, it's too much to explain right now. That's why I want to
Okay, we'll do breakfast. Yeah. Anything that God's called you to do that you can't do? Not it's hard, not it's going to hurt. No, can you do it?
I can do it.
How about you?
Not anything that comes to mind.
How about you?
I can't think of it.
We have no excuse. We have no excuse to not go and walk in His ways. And it's a sanctification process. That's the sanctification process. But sanctification doesn't mean we live in sin and we live in ignorance. It means, God, I love you. God, I want to please you. Clean me up. John 17:17. Thy word is truth. Thy word sanctifies you. Notice we're sanctified by the truth. And when I talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the fruits of the Holy Spirit, what Bible verse do you think talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit?
What
Bible verse usually people quote about the fruits of the Holy Spirit?
Corinthians.
That is the fruits. That's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking fruits. Most people say Galatians 5. Okay. Talks about love, joy, peace. You were close. You said Ephesians. Nobody quotes Ephesians 5:9. Ephesians 5:9 says the fruit of the Holy Spirit is goodness, truth, and righteousness. Hardly anybody quotes that. He gives you truth. You walk in truth. You live truth. If you keep lies and error, that's a part of your life that you're not letting the Holy Spirit cleanse. Because my Father keeps no lies, no darkness, no sin, no error. And if you're an open vessel, He'll cleanse it all. Make sense? Man, I love you guys. I hope to hear from you.
What's your name again?
My name is Tupos. It means example in the Greek. I want to be an example to other men. I fail in many ways, but I want to be. I hope to see you Monday for breakfast. Yeah. I want to be a godly man. I want to strive. What's that? Oh, man. I
breakfast for him.
Oh, come on.
There you go.
I don't need money, man. God has blessed me. I don't need money.
It says give the preacher what he's doing, right? It doesn't say he's...
I don't need money.
You don't need money, but it's...
No. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take this. I don't need it. You know what's going to happen?
What does it also say? Feed those who are hungry and give water.
Here. You know what's going
to
happen with this money?
Give God's money back.
Yeah.
It'll be used better than I can use it.
Okay. I don't want to offend you, so I'm going to take it. You know what's going to happen with this money? I give it to my wife, Amen. She goes to McDonald's and she buys $5 gift cards. And then when we see... like small children to come listen to us, so we bless them with a gift card and we say, go buy ice cream on the preacher.
Make mine Culver's.
Okay. Yeah. We do McDonald's because there's a lot of McDonald's around. Yeah. And then we give them to firemen. I'll thank police officers. We'll give them to people. I'll give them to homeless guys. What I love about them is you give a homeless guy cash, what's he going to do with it? You give him a Walmart certificate, what's he going to do with it? Buy booze, cigarettes. You give somebody a McDonald's card, the only thing you can get, I know it's not the healthiest food, but it's just a $5 thing. You could give them some sustenance.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice gift, so that's what we'll do with that. We're going to buy a bunch of gift cards. They'll go all over the country, and it'll bless people. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. You didn't have to do that.
This is great timing. Like, I'm already thinking tomorrow. Like,
I don't know.
I give you a hug, man. I love you.
Oh, of course, man. I didn't know.
I love you. I'd love to encourage you more in the faith. I'm here for you anytime. Yeah. Email me. Call me. Man, this is what I'm all about. I disciple people. I love to text people every day and encourage them. I love them to point in the scriptures. I'll come back. I'll Bible study with you. Here, you guys all live in the same town?
Yeah. Kind of.
Pretty much.
You guys know each other?
Brother. Yeah. Friend.
This is your brother?
Yeah.
Your brothers.
Yeah.
And you live in this town? Close?
I live in Nina.
Okay, so here's my admonition. People say, what do we do? Where do we go? Here's the body of Christ right here in this town. Start meeting. Start Bible studying. Start going deep in the scriptures. You don't need the pastor in the pulpit. You don't need the building. You don't need Life Fest. Start going to the scriptures. Be Noah's and say, let's meet, guys. Let's meet and let's start studying. And God will work it out. Who's going to be your teacher? If you're gifted, whatever. If you need help, I'll come and help you, whatever. Start becoming the body of Christ right here. Don't look for something. Do it yourself. God wants you to be the body of Christ and encourage each other. Hebrews 3:13, edify each other daily lest you be caught up in the deceitfulness of sin. He should know what you're struggling with if he cares about you and you're united. He should. And we're all helping each other. Hey, brother, how you doing today? Oh, man, I'm doing great. This is awesome. Good. Keep going. Oh, I'm struggling. Hey, let me call you. We'll pray. We'll go to the Word. The brotherhood. Not Sunday church that just sees you for an hour and a half. Everyday connected, accountability, fellowship, discipleship. It's what Jesus and the disciples did. So you got the body right here. No excuses to start meeting and Bible studying. And you meet, you can, you know, you could do the Lord's Supper on your own. You know that?
Yeah, I've done it myself.
I got an article on that. You can do it. You can Bible study. You can gather. And guess what? You got a songwriter. Make up some songs or get some good hymns and sing to God with your voices. I promise you, it will be the most endearing, spiritual, tender, loving thing you do is go just with godly men and make a joyful noise with your mouth to God. You don't need a guitar. You don't need all of this. You don't need hype. And God sees your sacrifice and then He honors your obedience. In 1 Samuel 15, it says, God requires obedience more than sacrifice. He doesn't want you to sacrifice and go to a building. He doesn't want you to sacrifice superficial things. He wants you to obey Him. And Solomon said, was he the wisest man in the Bible ever said? He said, the duty of man, fear God, keep His commandments. There's your charge. You said, what's the will of God? Fear God, keep His commandments. And then learn what those commandments are. Some pre-Torah, the New Testament, how to live, how to talk, how to dress, how to act, how to guide our families, how to come out of every false way, how to shut off the Packers, shut off the movies, shut off the TV, how to learn to look away from all of these women that dress like harlots. Yeah, some guy just came out and he said, I didn't tell you guys this, I was telling him. This big guy named Malachi, this guy's like a mountain. Guy must weigh 400 pounds, huge. He's going in and he said, what's wrong with this place? I said, Roman Catholicism. He goes, no. I said, yep. He calls his pastor. Pastor, let me get a shift. Pastor. This guy tells me about this place. And his pastor goes, yeah, who is it? And he goes, Bob Lentz from here. He goes, yeah, Bob Lentz is a heretic, his pastor. His pastor's not in a church system. He's some home church guy, so he's got a little bit more going on. He goes, yeah, yeah. He goes, they do yoga in there. The pastor said that. I said, yeah. He goes, this guy just told me that. His pastor told him it's sinful. He goes, I'm going to go in and check it out. I'll be back. Malachi goes in to check it out. He comes back. I said, hey, Malachi. He walks up to me. I said, how'd it go? He goes, this place sucks. Literal words. I said, why? He goes, it's everything you said. It's worldly, it's carnal. He goes, the women dress like harlots. He goes, there's girls all over showing their belly buttons with earrings. And he goes, their cleavage is hanging out and their butt cheeks are hanging out. That's what he said. And I said, hey, that's the pastors and the fathers and the mothers letting them do it. And they call themselves Christians. And you might think, wow, that's outside a thing. That's an outside thing. But if your heart's changed, doesn't your outside change? Your wife loves you, her outsides, and her heart is for you. So when our heart is truly transformed for God, it overtakes everything. This is the temple of God. This is no small thing. This is the temple of God. This is the holy temple of God. Paul said, don't defile the temple. And so to walk in it, and that's not just dress. Where do you take it? What do you do with it? How do you spend your money on it? Where do you spend time on it? It's not just about dress either. It's about living your life, because everywhere you go is your temple taken with you. God gives us a temple to carry with us everywhere. So be a good witness everywhere you go and do everything you can to glorify God. But you got a body right here. And you should be meeting and holding each other accountable and teaching sound doctrine, going deep in the scriptures, and I'm here to help you.
Thank you.
Thanks. So did you get your tunic at Target? Or?
What's that?
Did you get your tunic?
Yeah, you're funny. No. You know where I got it?
Where?
This is an extra size shirt from Walmart. $15.99 back before COVID and back before inflation. They're probably $25 now. And then my wife sewed on the extensions on the bottom. Yeah, she sewed on the extensions so that no matter how I turn, walk, and then I wear really baggy pants, the whole idea is to cover your form. This is the whole idea. Because if women are to cover their form, aren't men supposed to be the example?
I want
to
be like Ned Flanders from Simpsons, where like the one time his shirt gets soaked, it's just like shredded underneath. You ever watched Simpsons before?
Long before Christ, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's the whole idea of it. And again, it's one part of it, and it's what the culture hates and won't change. But there's many things. I preached at the Packer game, and all the Christians are walking by me. Oh, we're Christians too. Beer, cigarettes, going to watch the idolatry and the violence and the covetousness. And I go, how can you condone this in the scriptures? Ah, my pastor says it's fine. Jesus died for all my sin. No, not for the sin you hold on to and keep doing. You're making a mockery of God. You're trampling the blood of Jesus is what you're actually doing.
Putting him back on the cross.
is.
Oh.
I hope we're not holding you back, man.
No. No, you know what? I preach. Look at people came out that want to hear. We preach to a bunch of teenagers. I like to talk to people while they're here. We like to invest and pour our time into people. This is what we do.
Maybe you turn into a pillar of salt.
What, one of your buddies went in there?
Yeah.
You guys never went in, did you?
We went in and got food, and then it was like, we're like sitting there talking and talking. Like, I remember, we all wanted to, like, one of us brought up we wanted to go talk to. I was like, we want to talk to him too.
Yeah.
I was like, finally, like, let's walk and talk our way back over there. So see what he's
back.
Yeah. So we got some cheese curds and a milkshake.
God's convicting you. The Holy Spirit will work on you. And if you really are of God, you'll start to obey. Obedience comes as the fruit that you know Him. Don't deceive yourself. Satan in your flesh is going to go, oh, do I really have to obey? Yes, you do. Christ was obedient unto death. Paul says, how could we go on and live in sin if we've died with Christ?
Yeah.
If you defend any sin and worldliness and carnality, you haven't died to Christ, with Christ. We've died to Him. How can we live in sin anymore? We can't. And you don't have to. We all talked. There's no sin that you keep doing. What sin am I keeping that I go, guys, I just can't stop? There's not one.
So I got kind of a weird question.
Nothing's weird. It's not a mockery.
So I used to sell, you know, a lot of weed and decided to tithe like a very high amount of that weed.